Albert, lots of people are brand new to the program. They probably don't even know what an out-of-body experience is. Can you explain that for us? And then we'll get into this astral plane in just a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it would be my pleasure. Basically, it happens in a lot of ways. There's several kinds of out-of-body experiences. One that people may be familiar with is the near-death experience. Believe it or not, that is an out-of-body experience. And as people are very familiar with, it usually happens because of a trauma to the body, or maybe some surgery or something like that, and a person finds themselves floating above their body. They may even visit relatives, hear doctors talking about them, or see something that would be impossible to see if you were in your physically there. Like I know of one story that happened in Seattle where a woman during surgery, she died and found herself floating outside of the hospital and saw a tennis shoe on the ledge of the hospital. Later on, a nurse friend of mine got a chance to climb out onto that ledge, and you couldn't see the tennis shoe from the window, but it was definitely out there and obstructed from view, and they found the tennis shoe. So that's one type of out-of-body experience. The other one is the spontaneous nightly out-of-body experience, and that's what happens to me. And it's been happening to me since I was approximately 5 years old. A lot of people may relate to it. It usually starts with maybe you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you'll feel paralyzed, unable to move. You may hear sounds. You may hear buzzing. You may feel someone touch you. You may see images moving around the room. It could be kind of scary because if you don't know what it is, it's very, very real. And then you may find yourself floating above your body. You may feel a vibration as you leave your body. And then the next thing, usually, especially what happened to me, is I wear glasses. And all of a sudden I could see. And I could see, not only could I just see, I could see the room very clearly. Mm-hmm. And I was a little puzzled by that because I normally wear glasses. And I should have been you know, blurry. I'm not blind, but I usually use glasses for distance. So I noticed that I was peering around the room with a different type of vision. I found out that I was able to walk on the floor if I chose to. I could float around the room if I chose to. And this was the most wonderful part about it. I think everybody is excited about is you can actually fly.
Did you teach yourself this?
No, it happened to me when I was young. And one of the things I would tell my mother is I would say, Mom, I wake up in my dreams. And I couldn't, that was as much as I could explain to her as a six-year-old and seven-year-old. And no one understood me. And it wasn't until years later, maybe 30 years later, three decades, that I started reading up on, I believe it was in an Omni magazine, I started reading up on people who have lucid dreams. And that was the first time I'd ever heard anybody put a label to the experiences that I was having. So I didn't teach myself how to do it. I really taught myself what was happening to me normally. And it would happen when I was young about once a week. And then about age 30, about three decades later, it began happening several times a week, and then sometimes three times a night. And then that's when it got my attention, and I began to keep a journal that eventually turned into my book, Soul Traveler.
That's incredible. Albert, this happened to me when I was 11 years old. I can't duplicate it. And I've had guests like you on and some others who've come on to try to help me, but I think I've gotten close, very, very close.
But George, you've never asked me to help you.
No, sir, not yet. That's right.
I helped Art. Art had an out-of-body experience. He called me from France and had an out-of-body experience in France. In France, he called me from France and told to tell me he had an out-of-body experience.
Good old Art.
And I've had people who've never had out-of-body experiences, and like a woman was 40 years old. Took my weekend workshop, and about a year later or so, she had an incredible out-of-body experience. Sometimes it happens sooner, sometimes it happens later, but there's so many different techniques to use because not every technique works with everyone. So I recommend highly that you try as many techniques as possible, and if something doesn't work for you, discard it and move on to the next one, because there's a high probability, maybe about 80%, that you're going to be able to have a spontaneously, consciously controlled out-of-body experience.
One of the fears of this, Albert, that you can't get back into your physical body.
Right.
What do you say about that?
Well, that fear usually comes from people who haven't had the experience. I can say this. The only time I've ever had difficulty reconnecting with my body was only because I didn't know how. It wasn't like I couldn't get in. I just didn't know how to reconnect. Now, if I would have been in this state for an extended period of time, let's say, the longest I've ever been able to stay out of my body is about 2 to 3 hours. And then something odd happens. It's like an automatic recall, and your body literally starts pulling on you no matter where you are. You become more and more aware of the physical body, and eventually you can't stay out, and you're drawn back in. Now, in the short term, when you're just leaving briefly and coming back and wanting to reconnect with your body, one of the mistakes I made was trying to move my entire body. So I felt paralyzed still and felt like I couldn't reconnect with my physical body. But one of the things I discovered is just try to move a small portion of your body, like the little finger or a toe or even your tongue, and that will help you reconnect with the physical body. So there's no need to worry about not being able to reconnect with your body. It's just sometimes you do have a process or something happens that you'll need to use a technique to reconnect.
What is on the astral plane, Albert?
Now, see, in the astral plane is an amazing place. Now, imagine this. Imagine a picture, a clear picture of that you would hold water in. And I fill that picture up halfway with dirt. Well, that dirt represents the physical plane, everything that's here on Earth. Now, imagine I take another picture of that's clear water, and that water represents the astral plane. So when I pour that water into the beaker, it starts interacting with the dirt. So at the lower levels of that pitcher of water and the dirt, it's very dry. And when you go up to higher, you go up, the water starts interacting with it and becomes wet. So, and then as you go further up, it gets turbid and eventually it gets very clear. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how the astral plane interacts with our physical world here. Part of it is definitely here in my room and in your studio where you are, and even further than that, even out in space, as far as you can even think of. And then part of it, as the vibrational level of the astral plane increases, part of it is not here. So there may be on the other side, at a little higher level, that's where you have spirits, deceased persons. That's where we paranormalists see ghosts and things like that, at that lower level of the astral plane that interacts with the physical plane.